Hi, welcome to the On Your Marks Book Review Podcast with me, Jonathan Marks. Today I'll be sharing with you my review of the book Curation, The Power of Selection in a World of Excess by British author Michael Basker. I really enjoyed this book, and even though it was written and published some years ago, I think the thesis is still sound, and if anything, more relevant today than it was before. In fact, what surprised me most as I researched the book and the backdrop to this idea of curation as a necessary antidote to our very chaotic lives was how few books have been written on the topic. You'll find thousands of books on content creation, the very thing that's making a huge contribution to this experience of information overload, but sadly very few books on how to manage this deluge. Basker's book is interesting and I think very well researched. I guess the value of a first-rate classical education. Personally, I have a predilection towards any book with a good index and a list of sources. Yes, I know I have very simple needs, and this book provides both. Where I struggled at times was the intellectual leaps and examples to reinforce his points. For instance, in one chapter, he goes from Mayan culture to the 2008 credit crisis in just a few pages. A little bewildering, but he does pepper the book with wonderful examples and stories, which makes this a very engaging read. The book is also a little formulaic. I'm starting to see a trend here as I get through my various book reviews, but this doesn't detract from the message. And like a mid-1990s James Bond movie, you kind of know where it's heading and that good will triumph in the end and order will be restored to the world thanks to 007. Anyway, back to the book review. Basker starts by reminding us of the problem or situation we are in. To be fair, he does correctly class these as first world problems of too much of everything, too much information, food, stuff, whatever. Once the Industrial Revolution, really a productivity revolution, had run its course, we entered the period of the long boom. Suddenly, material objects that had been scarce before were freely and cheaply available. This was exacerbated by electrification, more goods and increased productivity, and then once again with the advent of the microchip and consumer electronics. In this current stage of the fourth industrial revolution, this is my interpretation, not Basker's, we find a similar abundance of information and data. What this leads to is a sense of absolute overload or affluenza. And he questions how, and I quote, what was once a basic truth that having more money and more things is an intrinsic good is, at second view, more complex. End quote. It would seem our greatest problem is not scarcity, but in fact oversupply, and that global growth depends on production, which relies on increased consumption, and round it goes. This impacts our lives and the roles we play in our lives, and in particular our time, our most precious personal resource, which is increasingly thinly stretched. This challenges, says Basker, the creativity myth, the idea that creativity and creation are intrinsic goods. And in this time of overload and overconsumption, he asks, do we really need any more? The converse of the creativity myth is that we devalue the non-creative, the critic, the editor, the merchandiser, the publisher, and yes, of course, the curator. Basker argues that the real creativity is in fact in wading through this morass of information, stuff, data, and abundance. He cites Steve Jobs, who said, and I quote, "Creativity is just connecting things. When you ask creative people how they did things, they feel guilty because they really didn't do it. They just saw something. They were able to connect experiences they had and synthesize new things." End quote. Basker argues that as the century wears on, we will realize that creating less, indeed actively cutting down, leads to more prosperity. And so his answer to the problem, of course, is curation. One would expect that the term has a long history, which it does, but not just in the art world, but also in civil society. In Roman times, curators were in fact civil servants, responsible for everything from infrastructure to public games. This term has become horribly overused, and now everyone seems to be creating everything everywhere all the time. But what is interesting is how the curator has now become a kind of artist, that the exhibition, at least in the art world, is a canvas and the works of art a kind of paint. The same occurs everywhere: retail, entertainment, food, music, the list goes on. Basker quotes one prolific and well-known curator saying, "Anyone can be a curator now, especially as it's come to be understood as personal choice. In fact, today, the word curation means personal choice." End quote. Basker suggests that all curation is really an act of selection and arrangement which can add value. Both are necessary for the experience to be meaningful, whether it's a list of books to read or movies to watch, items on a menu, or a museum or art experience. As an example, the British Museum, one of the world's greatest museums, has around 80,000 items on display at any time. This is a fraction of the 8 million items that they have in their collection, and yet is still too much for any museum visitor. The work of a curator is to direct you to the 80 or 8 items that are of most interest to you. What is changing in this world of both selection and arrangement is a move from an industrial mode of selection, where all the choices are made for us by others, to a curated mode of selection, where choices are made by and with us, along with inputs from others, as well as our own past behavior and patterns and tastes. Anyone who has used Amazon knows the power of the suggestions for books and other goods that are provided alongside our own choices. This is based not only on our experiences, but also that of others. In fact, in the early days, Amazon relied on legions of humans to review and make recommendations for books and other goods. This was, over time, phased out in favor of technology, only to return later when the company realized that while a computer could understand that a book was desirable, it could not understand why. Arrangement, of course, is essential too. Basker suggests this is how Google won the search war from Yahoo and AltaVista. Apart from an algorithm that we know looks at the incoming links rather than the density of words, the clean and simple front page and the uncluttered search results means that the arrangement of data and information makes its absorption and use that much easier. Quoting another curator, Basker says, "The art of curation isn't about the individual pieces of content, but about whether these pieces fit together, what story they tell by being placed next to each other, and the statements the context they create makes about culture and the world at large." Curation has a lot of value in our lives. Sometimes it occurs unseen, but still adds its value. The process of categorizing, simplifying, and refinement are all at the core of curating. This helps us make sense of our world and allows us to navigate through the noise and clutter. Curation helps make less more. Basker closes the book with examples of how curation is already in effect in the world, at a national level, within the internet, culture, business, and of course at the individual level. The examples shared here are absolutely fascinating, and two stuck out for me. The first was the origin story of Eataly, an amazing Italian food emporium that has since been exported around the world. This careful curation of Italian food and culture makes us not only a retail prize, but a culinary journey. And the second was the story of Berghain, a nightclub in Berlin. The bouncer, Sven Marquardt, who is renowned and has reigned over the door of this club for decades, held the role of curating the club from night to night, deciding on the right mix of people to enter the club. So prolific was his role that no one got into the club unless he gave the okay. And so while the nightclub created the atmosphere with music and location and ambience, he brought this alive with the people he allowed in the door. He has since published an autobiography, and I've included an interview with him on German TV on the companion infographic. I love this quote in the closing chapter from the French sociologist Bourdieu, which so sums up curation. "All matters of taste are matters of distinction. Our taste, judgment, and choices don't stem from any natural or superior aesthetic or cultural preference. Rather, our tastes serve to define us in relation to others." And so curation continues. Around us and in our lives, it's inevitable. And I think I agree with the author that it may well be the only antidote for the assault of consumption and consumerism and the endless stream of information and data that hits us throughout our lives. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you found it interesting. As always, please feel free to share this with others. And I hope you have a wonderfully curated week.